You're listening to the Laugh Factory Podcast Network. For more shows, visit the podcast page at laughfactory.com.
It's the After Laugh, After Laugh. Welcome to the After Laugh, After Laugh, After Laugh. After Laugh, man. Go ahead, pull up a chair.
Man, I have Tommy Wakefield.
Can't be killed. They keep bringing me back. The writers keep bringing me back.
He just got back from New York City.
The Big Apple.
Where you performed at Caroline's.
Mm-hmm.
One of the top four clubs in New York, for sure. I would say three. Cellar number one. Oh, four. So Cellar's number one, Gotham, The Stand, Caroline's. Those are the clubs that people...
I mean, from a comedian's perspective, I agree. From a tourist perspective,
what?
I would put Caroline's in the top three.
Oh yeah,
yeah. Gotham is more like Times Square.
Gotham is more like New York corporate Wall Street,
yeah,
money,
sure,
companies, and very like.
And The Stand is like, well, The Cellar's
all
like
the canceled comics at The Stand.
Yeah, The Stand's the edgy
people.
The Stand is the Laugh Factory.
You might get laid at The Stand if
actually,
you go to The Stand.
The Laugh Factory might be Caroline's. I think
Laugh Factory's more like Caroline's.
Laugh Factory's Caroline's.
The Stand is more like The Store. It's more edgy, and
I feel like The Cellar's The Store.
Interesting. Well, I feel like The Cellar's in rarefied air above everything else.
Agreed.
There's nothing.
The Cellar's
really
the best
it.
Club.
And even people
anywhere.
Stand are like, yeah, we're never going to be close to The Cellar, just because even the history of it is just so entrenched.
Yeah.
And honestly, the location is ridiculous because it's
West
right
Village.
By every college.
Yeah.
So every NYU student is right there, and they all go to the fucking Cellar. And so you get like the youngest, like, what? And everyone, and the room, the laughs in the room are fucking huge.
There are so many comedy clubs in New York. I'm moving to New York.
That's you can do, shit, it's crazy. You can do seven shows a night.
And the shows are paying.
Yeah.
I have a buddy out there who is she's paying her rent with stand-up.
Is she producing a show, though?
No. Maybe she's producing one.
Who's your friend?
Maddie Wiener.
Maddie Wiener. Where is she doing gigs?
She's in at The Stand, and I think maybe New York Comedy Club.
And she's making a living.
She's paying very low rent.
Daddy and mommy aren't helping around a little bit.
Nope.
No part-time job.
Nope.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to see the receipts.
Well, this is just what I hear. This is what I hear in the street.
There was a time when I was at the New York Laugh Factory. I was there every night.
Yeah.
Sometimes multiple shows a night. And that's
how much were you paying in rent? How many roommates did you have?
I had a roommate. I was paying
one roommate? There it is.
But
gotta have five roommates.
But I also had to have TV shit to like make it possible for me.
Yeah.
Anyway, so you went to New York. You were opening for Aubrey Stewart.
Audrey,
Jesus Christ, why is that?
Okay.
Sorry, I'm sorry. She hasn't done the podcast, by the way. She's got to do the podcast.
Oh, yeah.
I want her to do it.
I'll send her your way.
I feel like she's kind of, she had a quick rise in comedy, huh?
Yeah, for sure.
Good energy.
Yeah,
she's a really sweet girl.
She is just one of the most likable people on the planet, and everybody loves her immediately.
Yeah.
And she's funny.
Yeah.
So, I think it just... She got a bunch of spots right away.
Yeah,
yeah.
For sure. Yeah, they have in Caroline. They give comics a one night.
Yeah, that's what it was.
One night, and you're like, you have to paper the fuck out of it, and promote the fuck out of it, just to fill it up.
I think she did a pretty good job.
Yeah, I did. Like, I've done three times, and they were all sold out. But there's a point where I was like, they didn't. But it didn't do anything for me. You know what I mean?
Nothing does anything. That's what I've learned.
It's only short clips on social media.
That's the only
anything.
Thing. And the thing about the making short videos and putting them online is, just like everything, everybody thinks it's going to be one video or one show or one club, but it's just making short videos and putting them online. The process of putting things out constantly for a very long period of time.
Yeah.
Just like everything.
And quit being precious and going, well, I don't know about this one. Should I do this?
Should I tweak this tag? Probably not. It probably is not going to fix anything.
Yeah. I feel like I just realized my volume is low.
Uh-oh.
Who knows?
Should we start over?
Now we're fine. So, you got back. So, how was the show?
Show was really fun.
You did how long?
I did 20 minutes.
You did 20. You were the feech.
I was the feech.
You were the feech.
The feechy.
Did you have people that you knew come to the show?
Mm-hmm. I probably got five people out.
That's nice.
Which is, you know.
You got tape of it?
No.
Because you made a tape that you could do.
I should have done
that. You cut up into short videos.
Why didn't I do that?
Because you're fucking retarded, Tom.
I was late to the show, so I didn't really... Because I'm a big dummy. I'm
always late, number one.
One, I'm always late, for sure. That's part of it. I was working from home, so I was trying to finish up that stuff.
Yeah.
And then I sprinted out, and then I got on the subway, and I tried to GPS, like, what stops to take, because I'm a fucking...
Where were you staying?
Lamo. Brooklyn. Bushwick.
Yeah, that's a pain in the ass.
So I get on the L, and I'm like trying to, I'm like, where do I, what train do I take? And my phone won't work because I'm underground. And I didn't look it up beforehand. So then I'm texting my friend Ben, who's from New York.
I don't know if I'm going to make it.
And I was like, what train do I take? He was like, take the Q or the N. And I was like, okay. The Q or the N. So then I got out, and I was like, should I get on the Q? And I was like, oh, no. The N on my phone goes there, so I was like, I skipped the queue, and I got in the end, but I had to wait 11 minutes for the end. He's like, you idiot, they go to the same place. I was like, okay. Then I got on the end, and then I was on the space cadet, so I missed my stop.
Oh my god.
And then I hopped off the end, and I sprinted around, and I got on the queue going the other way, and the queue doesn't stop where I just was. So
it's
now
express.
I'm exactly. So now I'm 10 blocks away from Caroline's.
And you sprint?
So I sprint through Times Square, which is the most clogged...
With a backpack, I'm sure.
Of course. So I'm sprinting through Times Square. I'm like pushing old ladies out of the way. There's like people dressed up as Spider-Man doing backflips. I'm sliding under them and running through traffic. And then I finally get there. And I'm probably like 5 to 10 late.
Started?
Covered in sweat. The show's already started.
So like literally,
that's why I'm never gonna work in this.
You had how much time before your spot?
I actually, there was a bunch of openers, so okay. I ended up having probably 25 minutes.
Okay,
but
enough to calm down.
Enough to calm down, but not enough time to be like, oh, this is a great opportunity to film a set at a historic venue that I won't do again
Did
for
she
a long
film
time.
Her set?
No,
oh,
because we're both dummies.
I have my Caroline set somewhere. I gotta find it. I don't know where it is. Anyway.
Yeah, that was a big deal for me, to be honest.
Yeah. You know what? You just remind me. I'm gonna take my Caroline set, and you know what I'm gonna do with it?
Chop it up, make short videos, and put them online. Mm-hmm. Smart.
Yeah, that's the plan. Some of the shit I'm gonna put out there is just like, whoo, but whatever.
You know what's funny? Is it's like, I have, I guess, a sentimental value for certain clubs over others.
Yeah.
Like, because I think I was really excited to do Caroline's because I know that it's a big deal and people know what it is, but I don't really have an emotional connection to it.
Sure.
That's probably why I didn't.
Yeah.
Like, if I went up...
If it was a seller, you'd be, like, prepping all day.
Of course.
Yeah.
All month. But the seller is such that you would never get a shot to even perform at the seller unless you had already done that.
Yeah. Yeah, when I was in New York, everyone was like, I was working at the Laugh Factory, and they're like, you gotta get in the cellar. If you're in New York, you gotta get in the cellar, And I just like, I don't know, man. I went there, and there was all the hazing that people do, and the shit on the comics, and I just always felt uncomfortable. you know, you get two people to refer you, and then you get to what's-her-face?
Audition. Esty.
And then you audition. And I had people who do it, but I don't know why. I was also in that weird belief of like, well, my home club's Laugh Factory. I'm a loyalist, so it's where I got to stay. So, which is stupid, but...
That's the fear talking. That's how I feel about the store. It's like, I'm just kind of like, I don't like the vibe, so I just don't go over there.
Yeah. Is it fear, though, or is maybe it's just you don't want to do it?
I don't know.
It's okay to not want to do something to a club.
Well, I think the store is really cool. And I get that if you ask anyone what's the coolest club in LA, they would say the store.
Sure.
But I'm a little, I don't know, it gives me weird, give me the heebie-jeebies.
Yeah, no, I get that. So your set went well.
Although I did do a little, like, comedy show there with my buddy, and it went super well.
So yeah.
Maybe I've been wrong. Every time I go back to the store, I know more people.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, I know everyone here.
Yeah, exactly.
It doesn't feel like it did when I first came.
It doesn't feel
like
we first came. You were the new guy. Who's this fucking kid? Trying to take my spot.
Yeah.
Anyways.
What were you
Have
saying?
You thought about moving to New York? Is that
Big
a
time.
Real thing?
I'm thinking about moving anywhere.
Well, where is anywhere? What are your options?
Either New York or Medellin, Colombia.
Okay, what the fuck is that
or
about?
Or Buenos Aires. Or
does that just have like a eat, pray, love trip to?
I want to move out of the country.
Don't you have a girlfriend now?
Yeah, I do.
Which, how would she feel about you moving to Median?
I'll have to explain it to her.
A man. I have a mission.
I'll be like, yeah, exactly. I really want to be bilingual. So I should live in a Spanish-speaking country. And Colombia is beautiful.
But what would you do there?
I don't even know. That's a great question.
Just walk around in linen shirt and...
Yeah.
Fucking smoke right at a coffee shop.
Weed, yeah. I was watching Narcos. I'm just going to smoke a joint and walk and think about shit real deep. Write my script.
And come back a little, like, weathered.
Yeah, well, I just want to have some stories.
I get that.
Fucking...
Well, the good
That's a good question, though. Why do that?
Well, the answer is there's no reason, and you're not going to do it.
Well, I'm going to do it.
It's fun to think about, but you're not going to fuck
do it.
I love to think about doing things just to have the thought and the fantasy, but I'm never going to fucking do it.
Or what if I move to Tokyo or something? I just want to... I just want to escape.
I get that. From L.A.
No way. I could go to London. I could do comedy in London.
Oh, for sure. No, there are a lot of places where you could, you know, and you see a lot of American expats in different countries when I travel, and they're there now,
yeah.
And they're doing well because there aren't a lot of them, and if you're an American, people want an American voice.
Yeah. Seems cool.
Yeah, London has a really great comedy scene. They love comedy. And
hello, blokes. Bunch of blokes.
I just think there's so much opportunity for comedy in America, so many markets in Canada. That, like, you don't even have to. And then you can go to Mexico sometimes and do shows in Cabo.
I want to do a show in Spanish. I want to do a full set in Spanish.
That'd be pretty badass.
I think that'd be fucking sick.
That would be sick.
And I think maybe, I mean, it could be the complete opposite. But I think people would be interested.
Yeah.
In why is this guy speaking Spanish? Like, if I went to different South American countries and did my comedy set... If I made fun of America in Spanish,
yeah,
I think people would like that.
Oh, they'd love it. Kidding me?
If I just shit on America,
oh, that'd be people would love you.
People would be like, "Who is this guy? Nobody's doing that."
Yeah, there's. I mean, there's so many cool places to go and do comedy, like New Zealand, Australia, France has English clubs, American speaking clubs, all of Scandinavia. English speaking clubs. I mean, they're English speaking clubs in Berlin, Germany. They're just everywhere.
Yeah.
And I've had an opportunity to do them all. You know, I haven't yet, but they've
do
come
it.
Up. I mean, I've done a lot of those places, but like I haven't done Germany yet. Berlin,
do that
because
Take
you know,
me with you.
The thing with the Berlin thing was the way that opportunity came up was how a white man says N word to a black man.
Yeah,
you know how that got viral. I'm sure we talked about it.
Viral in Germany.
Yeah. There's a DJ, because it was a Showtime show called the Chocolate Sunday Comedy Special, and it was on Showtime. It was one episode. It was the quote-unquote pilot episode, I guess, and it just kind of came and went, and nobody cared. Like, I didn't have anyone calling me or saying anything. Like, maybe one person was like, I saw you on fucking the Showtime thing.
Yeah.
So, like, a year passed, maybe a little bit longer, maybe two. And all of a sudden, I get a message from Samson Krupan.
Is that a German name?
Samson, you know Samson Krupan? He's a white, like, kind of redneck dude, but he's homies with Tiff Haddish and
nice.
Donnell. Anyway,
I love a good white.
But he was like, are you seeing what's happening on Facebook right now?
German Facebook.
I'm like, what? He goes, you look, and he sent me a link, and it was a guy, it was the first sketch in the special, so he... took it, he grabbed it from the thing, and he did the title, How a White Man Says, to a Black Man.
Oh, he typed it out?
Yeah, on top and the bottom, right?
That's how they did it.
He put it on Facebook, and it was like literally the first day.
He memed you.
He didn't give me credit, didn't put my name.
He memified you.
But he put the bit out there, and it got, I think the first day it got 8 million views.
Wow.
On Facebook. And then like, what do you do? What? And so I call, you know, Eric Blake, who's in. I'm like, what? And they're like, I don't know what the fuck to do. So I called Pookie, who runs Chocolate Sunday. Shout out Pookie Wiggins.
Shout out Pookie. Pookie Wigging.
And he had heard about what was going on. I said, Pookie, he goes, yeah, well, what should I do? You know, the guy doesn't really have the right to do that. I said, like, first of all, you could take it down if you want to be a dick, but, like, it's just getting exposure for this bit. I go, if I were you, since you do own the bit, take the exact same caption, how a white man's a new black man, the same thing, same uh-huh. layout, and post that on the Chocolate Sunday YouTube channel. And I said, true. Because do it before it dies down. Like, catch the end of the tail.
True.
So he did that, and it got, like, I think I, like, on that one, it got, like, maybe, I don't know, 8 million views eventually.
Wow.
And then Jamie,
I did
called
it again.
Jamie, and I say, Jamie, you should do it for the Laugh Factory. So then Jamie did it for the Laugh Factory, and it got, I think it's up at, like, 17 million views now. And, but what happened was, this guy named Scott, I forget his fucking last name, he's a dick, but he was the producer of the show. And he was so mad that it was getting, and he wasn't getting credit, so he just did everything's power to shut everything down.
Mm-hmm.
So then him and Jamie got embroiled in some legal battle, where apparently what happened is now they're splitting the money. I don't know how much 17 million views get you.
It's a decent bit.
What would it be? I don't know.
17 million? Thousands of dollars for sure.
So there's just, but not that much. Right?
Nah, 17 million is pretty solid.
So you'd say that's up to like $10,000?
I could do that, maybe.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
So whatever, they made a little, and I kept saying, like, hey, and I try to post it, and every time I try to post it, I was blocked because it was watermarked. So I couldn't post it. So I was like, hey, I told a guy in Germany, I was like, hey, can you fucking please put my name on this and the names of the comics?
Yeah.
So he did that, and he was cool, and then he was trying to arrange a show for us to come out to Berlin and do a show. Going back and forth never happened. Anyway, but yeah, so that was literally how it happened. Just a fucking dude in Germany grabbed the clip, put it on his Facebook, and then it was on World Star, it was on Hood Clips, it was on all the different, you know.
Yeah.
And to this day, I've never gotten work from it or money from it. I put it on my Instagram finally when I was allowed, when you have to do an electronic signature to get past a watermark, and they can't monetize it because of the content.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's that.
Well, that's the other thing. It might be demonetized on YouTube.
Really?
I have no idea.
Yeah.
But that'd be funny.
Yeah.
They're having a legal battle over a demonetized video.
So I don't know what the whole point of that fucking story was. But yeah, so you don't have to move to Medellin.
Medellin. Please have a little respect for the Colombian people. They've been through enough.
First of all, you can get murdered.
No.
Or robbed.
True. I definitely get robbed.
Yeah. I mean, you will get robbed for sure.
Not for sure.
I want to rob you right now, just looking at you. Just your energy is like, I could rob this.
I have a very robbable energy. I was thinking about this in New York. I just have a friendly rob me face.
Could you tell that people were looking at you like, did you ever notice if you were being cased or not?
In New York?
Yeah.
I wouldn't even...
Because when I was first in New York, I would notice when people used to case me all the time when I was first in New York.
Yeah.
Because I'd walk down the street, and I'd look across, there'd be someone walking the same pace, and I'd stop, and they would stop, I'd corner my, and I'd walk, they'd start walking.
I was walking around Brooklyn at like 2 a.m., which I probably shouldn't have been doing.
Bushwick.
Getting a snack.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. I was like, I'm in Bushwick. Who cares what happens? And then there was a point where I was like, I probably shouldn't be out here. I was like, I'm in New York. Yeah, I'm in New York. I'm singing la da 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 da. And then I was like, wait a minute, it's kind of spooky and dark, and people are looking at me weird. I should probably shut the fuck up.
Have you ever been mugged before or jumped before?
No.
Really?
Mm-mm.
I was one time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
New York?
In Madrid.
Madrid, España.
Those
Europeans will fuck you up.
Because here's something I probably have.
My dad got pickpocketed in France.
Oh, so. He didn't even realize it? He was just pickpocketed?
Yeah, like, they bumped into him. They like
Oliver Twist action.
What am I wild? I go.
In France, are Italians in there? Really?
Yeah. My dad was Italian in France.
Okay.
Normally he's American, but when he goes to France, he goes Italian.
I did a series of commercials.
Mm-hmm.
In Spain, when I was right out of graduate school.
That's pretty cool.
They were breakdance commercials.
What?
Yeah. So we shot.
Do you have that? Do you have that footage? Because that would be a great short video. You
know, by the way, oh, you're right.
That would be amazing.
God, I gotta have it somewhere.
Me in the breakdance commercial. Yeah, that's.
And you know, in the video too, which is the weirdest part about this video. So I'm breakdancing. I have a phone. I'm doing these dance moves with the phone and all this shit.
Okay.
And all of a sudden, it'll cut to like, and the song. I think the cell phone company was called Emena, and the song was. Emena, da 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 da.
Emena, like when you put something up your butt. Enema.
I wish you'd do it like. Como se barata? Anyway, so it nice. The song. That's they took good. Like an old song, and they put it in like a house remix.
Love that.
And it was based on these old Gap commercials, where it's people dancing with just a white background.
Sí, sí, por supuesto que sí.
So everything was white. The floor is white. The walls white.
Seguro que sí.
And then in the middle of the song and me dancing in the background fucking doing these moves, you just see, who do you see? Fucking just turn slowly to the camera with his beautiful face and his perfect hair, but Bradley Cooper.
What?
So Bradley Cooper was in the commercial with me.
Claro.
I gotta fucking find this.
What?
Yeah.
You breakdancing for Bradley Cooper in a Spanish commercial?
Yeah.
That is amazing.
So that was all shot in New York. And then this is what happened. I've never told this story.
I wonder if that's online.
I don't know.
Do you know what it's called?
It's like my first job. It's like right out of grad school. I think it's like 2000, the year 2000. So it's fucking.
What's it called? Emena?
Emena. I could probably, you know, maybe I could think I might be able to find it on the thing.
It's not Haagen-Dazs.
Okay, so let me just tell you the story. Because this story is trippy as fuck. So that first time I did the gig, it was like, I think it was like 10 grand, right? For a commercial.
Wow.
Awesome. And then
10,000 pesos?
I get a phone call from these guys making this commercial, and they're like, this commercial's become a huge hit in Spain.
Wow.
We want to fly you out. So they flew me out first class to Madrid. Wow. Put me up in like the Ernest Hemingway Hotel in the middle of Madrid. And I did this thing, and it was really, it was fucking incredible, right? I did this commercial, I leave. They go, oh, these commercials are, they go, the moves that you're doing, this sounds crazy. I sound like I'm lying.
Uh-huh.
He goes, the moves that you're doing
uh-huh.
have become a dance craze in Madrid.
What?
With the cell phone. It was like, like something like that or something gay. I was like, bullshit. He goes, no. It's like the song is now like a hot
and everyone's
dance
doing
song.
Your move.
If people are doing the move, listen to the song.
Then you made up the move?
Yeah, I made up the move.
That rocks.
And I'm like, bullshit. They're like, no. They're like, you gotta go. You gotta go. So they flipped me the second time, flipped me out. And this time they put me in like a worse place and the money wasn't good, but I was like,
and I think I was another commercial?
Yeah, so I shot three total. So, and this one, I'm on a rooftop, and it's just like me solo. Like, I'm the popular guy.
What? Right?
They didn't fly anyone else out.
Wow.
So, I'm going like, and so, this is so me, too. I'm like, oh, my thing's a dance craze, and fuck, I'd say, I'm going to go out to the clubs in Madrid, and I'm going to get laid.
I mean, gotta do that, right?
I'm going to get laid.
I do not blame you for that. That would have been my first thought.
So, and I wore glasses in the commercial. So I brought my glasses.
Oh my God, that's hilarious.
Because I'm like, well, they got to recognize
me. You want someone to recognize you?
1,000%.
You wore the same
outfit. So I went to like two, I don't know if I was by myself or I don't know what it was, but I'm getting hammered. And I'm going to the clubs. And like, I think one or two times the song came on.
Oh my God.
And I'm literally like dancing. I was like,
did anyone recognize you?
I'm the guy with the fucking. They're like, no. I'm like, look, the glasses. And then, and they're like, okay.
Nobody cares.
Nobody cares.
They're like, yeah, we know the dance, but.
We know the dance and whatever, but okay.
You're like, I made the dance.
So, I mean, I don't know.
Oh, God.
I've never had game. I probably shot my shot a couple times and just like, they're like,
on these fucking Spanish women.
And they couldn't speak English. I'm like, miss, Amanda, self of me. So I got more and more drunk.
If you'd have been able to speak Spanish in that situation, I bet you'd have got laid. Damn.
Or had any game.
Even broken Spanish.
So I'm super drunk, walking home to the hotel alone.
Having been not laid.
Not laid.
So your vibes are bad.
And I think I, and I, I think I bought a balloon for some reason.
You're holding a balloon?
I'm holding a balloon.
Oh, my God.
3 a.m.
Okay, you deserve
walking
it.
Down the street, and I'm
holding a balloon?
And I'm singing.
No!
I might as well have been skipping.
No! You're holding a balloon.
I hold a balloon, and I'm singing.
the
I
balloon.
Swear to God.
How old are you in this?
I mean, I was 24.
Okay. That is the funniest shit I've ever heard. You're singing.
Holding a balloon.
With a balloon.
At least 3 a.m. Walking down by myself, deserted streets in fucking Madrid. Singing.
And you're thinking, this is Europe. Nothing bad happens in Europe.
Next thing I know, someone jumps on my fucking back and puts their... It tries to like choke me out. They put my arm and they have their arm over my face and they like... Now, I grew up with two brothers, right, who were both fucking super strong.
Yeah. I've had that done to me.
And I'm, like, not a small guy. I've always been fairly athletic. And these are little fucking Moroccans, right? So, not to be racist, but they're smaller. They're not, you know, they're not corn-fed.
Okay, so they're small guys.
Small guy. He jumped on my back and tried, and I just got him, and I kind of, like, I, like, threw him. I didn't, like, judo throw him. I just kind of threw him off me, but he knocked my glasses off.
Your fucking and this cool commercial glasses.
This is before I got LASIX. So when my glasses are off, dude, I can't see fucking.
Oh.
So I'm shit faced drunk. My glasses are fucking somewhere. I can't. The balloons.
You're also
the
balloons glasses and all
floating up. To,
the
floating,
fact that you're the balloons.
The balloons floating up
like
to the stratosphere.
My glasses.
Where are my glasses?
The singing has stopped.
So I'm standing. So I kind of throw the guy up and I kind of back up and I'm like, look, and I see like there's these two guys in front of me, blurry as fuck, obviously.
Oh no.
And they're like, eh, fuck you. And I'm like, fuck you. Get the fuck. And I'm like frothing. They probably think I'm a lunatic because I was so scared.
I mean, a full grown man singing with a balloon, I would not fuck with.
So I'm Irish and I'm drunk and I don't have my glasses. I'm a
Irish.
Cornered fucking dog right now.
Yeah. And you're horny too. The blue balls
and
on top of it all.
On top of it. And just the anger of like barely being recognized after being sold this bill of goods that I was this cultural phenomenon in Madrid. So I throw the guy off me and I'm looking at him and I'm like, fuck you, motherfucker, I'll fucking kill you. I was just like,
that would have been my response.
And they were like, hey, fuck you. But they walked away.
Okay.
Because they were like, this guy's, and I was making a lot of noise. That was their shot. I'm looking for my wallet. I still have my wallet? They didn't get my wallet. I couldn't find my glasses. So I walked home basically blind.
Oof.
And I was, at that point, I was so drunk that I was like, I'm just going to fight somebody. I was like inviting people. Like, hey, who are you looking at? I was being
okay.
That guy.
You had a little Liam Neeson
and
moment.
I just knew that there was a black man.
Yeah. I knew there was a Moroccan somewhere
I
in the
city. I just wanted to fight a black man. So I
cannot believe he said that.
Oh, my God. I didn't. But
I did.
That's the best part. It's like,
I did.
Then why did you say it?
Why the fuck did you say that?
Any black man would have done.
That's literally the craziest thing.
If you guys haven't heard that, Liam Neeson got in a lot of hot water.
Why the fuck did you say that? Liam!
Because I guess they were talking about like his affinity to these revenge movies and has he ever experienced that in real life. He's like, well, a female friend of mine was raped and all I knew was a black man.
Oh my God.
So I went out into the streets. I don't know who he was.
How cool do you think he thought he was when he said that? It was like record scratch.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
I'm surprised he didn't drop the N-word. Come here, yeah. And anyway,
and then he's like, could we delete that last bit of the tape?
I didn't do anything.
I didn't do anything.
I thought about it.
I didn't even think about it, really. I thought it would be a weird thing for a character to do.
Yeah. That's like, that's so funny when people do that.
So
it's
they
like,
attempted
it's like,
to
it's
mug
like,
you.
It's like when that comic, whose name I won't mention, said that he was on the road with, I think, Mencia. And they were like,
oh, yeah,
fucking a woman. He like,
uh-huh,
went in there and pretended to be the other
and
guy.
And then he was like, it was
girl.
A funny joke
goes,
that I made
it
up.
It was a joke. Was it?
Was it?
Well, was it a joke?
We'll never know.
We'll never know.
We'll never
By the way,
know.
Because that's not a funny joke, number one.
Nope.
And number two, is that above for some people to do on the road?
No. Nope.
If you're a goddamn degenerate comic? No. Anyway, so you look up that story. I'm not going to say who it is, Brad Williams. The point is this.
Oh, my God.
Who cares? It was a joke. It was a joke. Who cares? Allegedly.
It was a joke.
So the point is, after that, I was so mad. So I stole a pair of shoes from the production. Like Dolce & Gabbana shoes. They weren't even good shoes. I wore them for like, and they're like, did you take shoes? I go, nope, I didn't take the shoes. And they knew I'd wanted those shoes. So then I was like fired from work. But I think after that, I was like, I don't want to go back to Spain. Fuck them. I don't want to do this commercial anymore. And then like, but I'd made like fucking 60 grand or something ridiculous from these commercials. But when you're right out of school,
that's so much money.
When I was right out of school, the amount of money I made, like out of the gate, just like money from commercials and this, I was like, oh, that's what acting is. That's just what my career is.
Yeah,
I just make 50 grand, 15, 30, you know. And then you realize, oh, wait a second, this is not how it this is not how shit goes down.
50
most
grand
of the time.
Is so much money.
I was able to buy my apartment with him. So anyway, the point is, you'll have plenty of opportunity to travel the world. Is that what you're feeling? Like a wanderlust? Like you're not going to... Like
I
want
to do it while I'm young. Because I want to be able to fucking be a wild man. You know? I want to be able to get rejected in Spain and then have people jump on my... have two Moroccans try and kick my ass.
Well...
That's what I want. I want that story. That's a cool story.
I don't think I've told that story in like fucking 15 years. How bananas is that?
You know?
But we got to find
even
the video.
Even my mom got mugged one time. I want to get mugged.
We got to find that commercial, Bradley.
I better
Cooper.
Be careful saying that because it'll come true.
Yeah.
It'll come the fuck true.
You don't
want
to use a secret. No, I guess it's good to be. But, it, you know, it did make me realize, like, since that never happened to me
is
before.
Is that when you started taking jiu-jitsu?
No. I didn't take jiu-jitsu until, this is why I started taking jiu-jitsu. I've always been terrified of fighting.
Yeah,
I'm still terrified of fighting.
Yeah,
I don't
want to
fucking fight anyone.
I have this fantasy in my head of like, oh yeah, I punch the other guy and I'm a hero. But in reality, it gets real scary real quick.
And it's just sloppy.
Yeah.
You know, and every time I would see a fight in college, I would get like agita. When I was a kid, if I punched someone, I would cry about it. I just never really liked punching or striking or really hurting people. And then... And I got sick one time, I had like the flu, and I was in bed, and I'd heard about the UFC, so I started watching the UFC videos, just in bed. You know, like, you're in that weird, like, flu brain, and everything is, like, very powerful that you're watching?
Yeah.
And I just...
being sick is as good as being high.
Yeah, absolutely. And what I realized, I was watching, I was like, oh my God, like, oh, this is fighting? So fighting is actually, like, chess. It's actually strategy. It's actually not punching. It's actually manipulating people to get them to submit to your will.
Yeah.
That's what it is. That's ultimately like every fight, because this was the beginning of UFC was like no holds barred. I mean, it was like no rules. There's no weight class.
People fucking sumo wrestlers.
Kick people in the head, one of them to the ground.
The beginning year of UFC is legendary.
They would do fish hooks where you put the thumb in the mouth or all like that.
Yeah, that's insane.
You kick people in the balls. Seriously, people get kicked in the balls constantly in the first few UFCs.
Oh my God. No cups?
I think the only rule they had was no eye gouging in the beginning.
Like,
but I think
no
maybe the first UFC, I don't think they had that as a rule. But then the second UFC, they're like, okay, guys, no eye gouging.
And they're like, solved it.
And by four,
fix the rules.
I think by UFC 4,
no
it was like, no kicking the balls, no fish hooks. No eye gouging, but everything else is fine.
No fish hooks.
Yeah.
People were ripping their damn skin off.
And
their
now
face.
There's like, obviously, it's very curated. There's tons of rules. And it's better.
It's still brutal.
It is. But, you know, I guess all the data isn't out yet, but UFC fighters don't suffer nearly as much CTE as like football players or hockey players.
What?
Not at all.
How
or
is that
boxers.
Possible?
Boxers have way more brain damage than UFC fighters.
Well, okay, that makes sense because boxing is the entire sport being punched in the head.
Face, yeah.
Whereas UFC, by the time you're getting punched in the face, something has kind of gone wrong.
And what was cool about like Hoist Gracie in the first UFC
but the punches you take in UFC, like if somebody guys you on the ground and they're slamming you in the face, those are insane.
But like Hoist Gracie, and he would wear the gi in the first few UFCs.
That's pretty
but he
cool.
would say, and he basically won the first four, right? It was all round robins. They'd fight multiple people. It was bananas. And they would interview him afterwards. He was 165 pounds, 6 foot tall, skinny guy. He wasn't even their best black belt. And they'd say, what was your strategy? And he would say, you know, I just don't want to hit anybody. I don't want to get hit. So what was your strategy to win? I just don't want no one to hit me. I try not to get hit, you know?
Yeah.
I don't want to hit nobody. I just don't want to get hit. Okay, that's Hoist Gracie telling you, you know.
Honestly, the good strategy.
And I loved it because you'd watch it, and people didn't know anything about jiu-jitsu at the time, so you're watching these fights, and you can watch them now. They're all on YouTube or
whatever.
How
would he take people down?
So he would do this thing where he would kind of like, it's kind of a visual, he would just kind of like put his arms up and put his knee up and kind of come at you like in this herky-jerky way, so you're kind of, and then he would just clinch you.
Wow.
And then once he clinched you, he would do sort of, he would kind of trip you, either do a trip. I don't think he had any real judo expertise. He wasn't doing like hip throws.
Yeah.
So he would just kind of trip you. Or sometimes if he would just hug you, and if there's a big guy, they'd slam him on the ground. So that big guy's like, oh, okay, I'm winning now. I slam this guy in his back.
But
that's when Hoist is like, good, like, and
good
also
game.
She's giant sumo wrestle on top of Hoist Gracie. You can't even see anything who Hoist Gracie's doing. And all of a sudden, the two sumo wrestlers like, tapping out.
Yeah.
And the announcer's like, what just happened? Why is he tapping out?
Is it, you can't do like a hand choke in UFC now?
Like with one hand on the neck?
Yeah.
I just don't think it's effective.
Right, okay.
You have those gloves. I don't think anyone's going to be able to. But yeah, I'm sure you could, people hold by the neck and punch, you know.
All right.
I think there is something about like the double fucking like.
Yeah. The classic.
The Alfred Hitchcock
choke. The Alfred Hitchcock, because that's a good one.
Yeah, I think there might be a rule about that.
Yeah.
But it's also just not effective. No one's going to if someone was doing that to me to try to choke me out, it's not going to work. You just, all you got to do is move one arm.
That would work on me for sure.
I mean, obviously someone strong would. But the funny thing is, when I interview UFC fighters for this podcast I do, this MMA podcast with Adam Hunter, shout out to Adam Hunter. These guys are fucking literally, sometimes I'm talking to Buddha. Sometimes I'm talking to these people, I'm like, okay, I just met you, but you have all the answers in life.
Wow.
Like this one guy, he's in the UFC, he's doing really well, married his high school sweetheart, he lives on a ranch in Ohio, they have three kids, they work the farm, they have the chickens, they do the thing, blah, 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 and he goes, does a training camp, he fights, makes money, goes back. His wife is beautiful. The kids are beautiful. He's the nicest guy. Can take a joke. And you're just like, but that's a lot of them.
Mm.
There is something about fighting that I think, not for everyone.
Well, they have no insecurity. Right?
Well, they're not worried about someone beating them up randomly.
I think a lot of the fucking issues with dudes is they have this fucking bullshit masculine insecurity where they're posturing and they're trying to make up for the fact that they can't fight and they're scared of shit.
Yeah.
You know? And these guys are not scared.
Of course.
So,
and also,
of course they can take a joke. They can kick your ass.
And then you also take into account that a lot of these UFC fighters, they're not coming from Dalton and Fieldston and Princeton and fucking, you know.
They come from the dirt, baby.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Some of their stories are like, so I was born in a garbage can, and I fucking was raised in a lunch pail. You know,
and now my life is great.
And now I'm
beat people up for thousands of dollars.
Yeah, and then you have this camaraderie of friends in your camp, and it seems like it'd be a fun little world to be a part of.
Totally.
You know what I mean? And the guys I know that I'm buddies with who do it, they're all fucking cool.
Well, I'm a fighter now. I've done one jiu-jitsu experience.
That's right, Tommy has done.
I own a gi.
You own a gi.
I washed it with first the time colors, and now it's blue tinted.
You idiot. The first time you put a gi on, don't you feel like a biggest idiot? You feel like
sure.
Here's my long gi.
I mean, I feel especially stupid because I don't know any martial arts at all. So when you put it on, you don't know anything. It feels like a challenge to everyone.
Yeah.
Especially because I trained in this guy's backyard, and I didn't really know where it was. So I was like, put on the gi, and I'm walking up and down the street in this neighborhood looking for this guy's fucking yard. And I'm like, I look so, like, talk about muggable.
You look like you're doing like a costume party or something.
I know. Look like a damn Ninja Turtle.
And it always feels like when you first start, like, I'm here for the jiu-jitsu.
Right.
Lie on your back. Okay. And wrap your legs around him. Okay, my legs are wrapped
to make
around
it more embarrassing, I bought the wrong size belt. I had a child's belt. It didn't even fit. So then the guy was like, maybe we have a white belt laying around from years ago. You gave me a belt. The first day, my only goal was to learn how to tie the belt.
Hey, I still don't know how to tie it right.
It's hard.
Because I'm left-handed. No, but there's like the cool way to tie it where you slip it under it and
you're left-handed?
Huh? Yeah.
Dude, that fucking rocks. We've talked about this.
Yeah, we have.
Okay, we're both left-handed.
So, which is actually an advantage for jiu-jitsu because I always, my entries are usually instinctively different than what people are expecting.
It's an advantage for a lot of sports.
So my strong side, yeah, same with soccer when it's left wing. So my strong side is the weak side for them a lot of times. I'm still shitty at jiu-jitsu. It's fucking awful.
Yeah,
although,
me too.
I tapped one of the top black belts today in class.
That's really cool. I've never tapped anyone. I'm excited to one day tap someone.
You will. And when you do, that there's like a few moments. I would say that there's like in your jiu-jitsu journey,
mm-hmm.
if you keep doing it, and I think you should. I think why ever stop? There's a few moments that are like the moments that, God, this is amazing. Well, I'll say what they are for me. The first submission, mm-hmm. when you're really scrapping with someone and you submit them and they're trying their best not to be submitted and you submit them, you're like, I just fucking submitted someone. That's the first one. And that feels, then your blue belt. Your blue belt's an amazing feeling. I got a belt. I got a belt from a legitimate black belt. And then the next thing is when you can actually use it in real life,
mm.
which I did, which I told a story. And then I think the last one will be the black belt.
Sure. I mean, that's really cool.
Yeah. And then once you get the black belt, you can just kind of like, you're just a black belt. But then it sucks because then if you travel.
How do you get a black belt? You just have to be at this dojo for a long time and you submit a bunch of black belts?
No. The way it works differently for different places.
Sure.
Like Henzo Gracie Academy at one point, it's complicated. Like basically like there's a guy, John Donaher, who's one of the most famous jiu-jitsu instructors in the world. And he's very selective about who he gives a black belt to.
He should be.
So I could be there for another 10 years and maybe I would get a black belt from him.
Jesus.
You know what I mean? He's that guy. He's just like, you have to really impress him. But at Henzo, if you have enough attendance, some people will give you a belt just out of your attendance.
See, I wouldn't want a black belt out of attendance. I wouldn't really want any belt
out of
attendance.
Yeah, so I've rolled some black belts at Henzo's that I'm like, you're a fucking black belt?
You're an attendance black belt.
Yeah, you're an attendance black belt. You're not a competition black belt. I mean, really the best way to move up belt-wise is competition.
Mm.
I mean, even the UFC, like a couple weeks ago, this guy, Chiamev Kazmat, whatever, he won the interim lightweight belt, and the guy, his instructor, after the fight came up and gave him his purple belt. After he just won a UFC championship.
I don't know if I would want to compete in fights.
I had no interest in beating. Yeah. And is that fear-based? For sure. I know everyone who does this says it's a great... It's like stand-up. I tell everyone, I'm like, if you're interested, just try it.
Yeah.
It's terrifying, but everyone should do it once as an experience. I think it's a great experience.
If I got really good, maybe I would do one competition just for kicks.
I mean, I was saying, Anthony Bourdain, he competed when he was 59 years old. He won a gold medal in his category as a blue belt.
Wow.
And then he killed himself, quote-unquote. No, he didn't.
Nah, not after you win a jiu-jitsu competition.
Mm-mm.
There's no greater rush in the world.
No. You know what my theory is of that, right?
No, the CIA? Because he was bringing too many cultures together?
Have I ever talked about how I think Tony Bourdain died?
No.
Have I talked about my relationship with Tony Bourdain?
You rolled jiu-jitsu with him.
Yeah.
And then something about a girlfriend?
Well, he followed me on Instagram.
Oh, okay.
And then so when he died, all these chefs were following me, and then they stopped following me after a while. They're like, wait, who's this weirdo? Okay, never mind. It's still weird, because on his fucking Instagram, I'm like, he has like, I don't know how many millions of followers, and he follows like 300 people or something. I'm like,
well.
Anyway, so he was in the corner with us old fucks in the gis, and John would teach the no-gis in the other corner, and Anthony would call them the Heathers.
The Heathers?
Yeah. But this is my theory.
Okay.
So, he was married to a woman named Octavia, who is a fighter and a jiu-jitsu person. And they both trained there. And she's Brazilian.
That's hot.
She started getting really cozy with one of the prodigy jiu-jitsu guys, a guy named Eddie Cummings. You see them hanging out a lot. And it was just a little like, okay, well, they're on the same team, whatever. But you start feeling like there's something going on, you know?
Was she a black belt?
I don't know if she was at that time yet. But she'd been doing longer than him, obviously. And then next thing you know, we'd heard that they're getting divorced.
Mm.
But he was still there, and now Octavia is there with Eddie Cummings, and they're being like all cozy and blah 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 blah. Right? Now he has a daughter with this woman. And he always seemed cool about it. He'd see them canoodling, and he just wouldn't fucking care. And you're like, this guy's the coolest motherfucker. He doesn't give a shit about stuff like that.
Yeah.
But then he meets Asia Argento, who is Dario Argento's daughter, who's like a famous Italian filmmaker. And she was like a hot shot. I think she did some Tarantino movies and Richard Rodriguez movies for a while. She's like this crazy, sexy Italian sex symbol. And he met her, and they had this like whirlwind romance. And he just was like, I have a new lease on life. I met the love of my life at this age. I'm so happy and blah, blah, blah. And they were posting together everywhere and they were all over. And you're like, okay, that's cool. He was still doing jiu-jitsu and he won his belt and then his tournament. And then he was in the middle of shooting his last season for Parts Unknown. And she came on the thing. I guess he was directing or something. Apparently she was a fucking nightmare. Like everyone hated her. And it's in the middle of the Me Too shit. So, because Tony is such a fucking good guy, and Asia Argento, she goes to the Cannes Film Festival. I don't know if you saw this clip. She gets on stage. She goes, I was here at the Cannes Film Festival 70 years ago when Harvey Weinstein raped me. But he wasn't the only predator. There are more predators here, and I know who you are, and we're going to get you. Something crazy like that. And it was like a televised.
Sure, that's big.
And it was bananas. Of all the things happened to Me Too, it was one of the craziest things because.
I think I do remember that.
She called out, she didn't name names, but she's like, yeah, Harvey raped me here, but there are other people here, and you're going to get caught. You're going to be fine. We're going to expose you. So Anthony Bourdain, being a good guy, and that's his woman.
He
supported her, yeah. And he was just like, he became a big champion for Me Too. He did interviews about it. He wrote about it. He posted about it. He was like, as a man, he was one of the only men that was at the forefront of the Me Too movement, and mm-hmm. everyone loved him and respected him, and it was never thought as weird.
Yeah, he's great.
So, this is what happened. Ah, it's so fucking weird. I don't feel like a lot of people know this. So, then there's some rumblings that she is involved in some Me Too shit herself.
Oh, I think I somewhat remember this.
And then, and I'm like, I'm hearing about this and I'm looking at his Instagram, looking at her Instagram, and there is all these posts suddenly out from TMZ or the Italian TMZ or something of her holding hands with this other guy. And they're like some young, hot guy, and they're walking down the street holding hands. And it was just weird, because I had a feeling that they had like a non-monogamous relationship.
Mm.
But the fact that it was public and that it was plastered everywhere, and this is the middle of him filming. Then the next post after that, that she posts, is a picture of her wearing a shirt that says something like, we know who you are, and we're coming for you. Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Anthony Bourdain is dead later that day. Now, and then she deletes that post.
Hmm.
And then what I found out, because I had mutual friends with people who were friends with Tony, he gave her the money to pay off this kid. It was a 17-year-old kid who apparently she fucked when they did a movie together. And he was the one suing her for sexual rape. And she needed money to pay him off, and he paid it off. And it was obviously hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars, right?
Sure.
Maybe $1 million. But he's a good man. He's like, I'm going to pay it off. I'm going to take care of it. And maybe he did that and then saw the pictures of her with the other guy, and it just was like, so I left my wife and my daughter and my family for this woman. I put everything and all my eggs into this basket of this woman, and she is now deemed a hypocrite and now deemed a predator, and now, and everyone hated her that was working on the show. And I think he either, it was the heartbreak that killed him, or when she threatened, we're going to come for you, something happened. Because that,
or you think maybe someone in power.
There's no suicide note. There's no letter. There's no goodbye. There's no.
How did he supposedly die?
He hung himself in the shower.
in the shower.
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
And I think it was in I forget what country it was in. But it was, like I said, like, and from my point of view, I go, wait a second. He was at the height of his popularity.
Did he have any health issues? Notable health issues? Or
I don't know. It was like Kurt Cobain, who had his stomach situation for years and years. Hmm. I don't think so. Kurt Cobain
maybe didn't kill himself either.
Oh, that's right. But he just
nobody's ever killed himself.
I know this sounds really stupid, and maybe I'm speaking unbiased because of jiu-jitsu, but like,
no one who does jiu-jitsu could ever kill someone.
And you win a gold medal, like, yeah. You're not thinking about killing yourself.
Right.
You're on a journey. You're in a process. This is something important to you. This is something you care about. And your show is bigger than ever it's been. And all of a sudden, you're dead without a suicide note. Right after your girlfriend, literally that day, makes a threat to people, powerful fucking people. You don't think these people have power enough to kill someone?
Oh, they definitely do.
So after...
they've done it before.
After he was killed, like...
I don't know who they
Age
are.
Age Argenta fucking disappeared. You don't hear anything from that fucking bitch.
Yeah.
There's nothing. She's... Me too. She's out. She's just like, nope. I don't know where she is or what she's doing, but she's not going to come to America.
Maybe she was threatened back.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
We're going to kill you and your husband. Or maybe they killed him as a message to her. Who the fuck knows? But I think something fucking happened. And maybe it'll come out. But just... And like I said, it's not like we were best buddies. I would never claim anything like that. But like... No. I just can't imagine someone as thoughtful and as caring as him, who had a daughter, wouldn't at least like leave a note or message or try to...
It's very, very strange.
I mean, I know he suffered from depression. That's another thing. But anyway, that's my theory. And hopefully, let's see if I get a phone call from an anonymous...
Mental health is one of those, like, bizarre, mysterious issues that doesn't have to make sense. But also...
Yeah.
Things do happen.
And I think I also mentioned when... A lot of what happens with the mental health that people don't really talk about, particularly with these suicides, and even when people just go bananas and do crazy shit, is they're changing their medication. Because it really fucks with your physiology when all of a sudden you change from Zoloft to Prozac, whatever the fuck it is. Same guy, the guy who directed Searching for Sugar Man. Do you remember Searching for Sugar Man? Won the Oscar as a documentary. You've never seen it?
No.
You gotta see it. It's fucking genius.
Okay.
He won the Oscar. He's a Swedish guy. He goes home.
Did he find Sugar Man?
Yeah. The story is basically, I'll be real quick about it. There's a guy supposed to be the next big Bob Dylan. He was this kind of like Mexican-American singer-songwriter. And Sony or something really pushed him out there. This guy's the next big Dylan, but they put the album out there and like nobody saw it. Nobody listened to it. No, it didn't get traction. I think they gave him another album. He made a 3-record deal. And this just didn't have any fucking traction. And he was like, well... And he goes back to working construction in Detroit. So he's literally a construction worker in Detroit for like 20 fucking years. Right? He used to be a musician, but he doesn't do it anymore. He just works fucking construction, lives in a teeny, teeny house. Meanwhile, concurrent to this, in South Africa, apparently someone had taken the album, the vinyl, and they would copy it and share it along the colleges.
Wow.
In South Africa. So it became this... massive fucking phenomenon in South Africa.
Love it.
And they were like, whatever happened to this guy? They were playing him on the radio. Like, what happened to this? I think he's dead. And they like won the phone book, and this guy from South Africa tracked him down, found him in Detroit, and said, is this blah, blah, blah?
Is this Sugar Man?
Is this Sugar Man? I forgot his real name. And he's like, see? No, he's like, yeah. He goes, would you want to do a concert in South Africa of your music? Because you have a fan base here. And he was like, can we do a concert? He's like, oh, well, I haven't left this country before. He's like, well, just come bring your whole family. He goes, oh, I have family. I can't come. He goes, bring your whole family. He goes, I got like 4 kids or something. He's like, bring them. He goes, okay. So they go in this, you know, they get in the plane. They go out there.
Does he even know the songs anymore?
Here's what's amazing about it. Like, who knows, right? He doesn't talk about it. They land on the tarmac. They get out of the tarmac, and this like giant stretch limo pulls in front of them. They're like, kids, there's something very important. Get out of the way of the limo. There's probably like a dignitary. And then the door opens. They're like, get
Sugar
in.
Sugar Man.
He's like, why? He's like, am I in trouble? No, just get in. So they put him in the limo and they drive him to this theater. And I actually have been to this theater in Cape Town. Cape Town. It's an enormous fucking theater, right?
Yeah.
It's probably, I don't know how many thousands of people.
And it's packed.
He walks in. It's fucking packed to the rafters, dude.
Amazing.
And he's like, what the fuck? And they he like hear Kim Matar go on stage. And he's like, and it's filmed. They show it in the fucking documentary. He's like, okay. And then he just starts playing. And like, it feels like he's never missed a beat.
Wow.
Destroys. They go fucking bananas for him.
What a story.
And then he just goes back home and starts working construction again. And they're interviewing this guy, and he's like, in the same fucking little teeny-ass studio in Detroit working the construction job. And they're like, so now what? He's like, huh? I don't fucking know. It's just like, yeah, I guess I'm going to go back. They would just fly him back every 4 months or something, or every half a year, and fly him and his family. He does a concert, packed houses, and he goes back home, works construction.
Does he get a big check out of it? I hope.
I mean, I'm sure he's getting some decent money.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But still, none of it's in America.
What an incredible story.
Incredible, dude. It's
that's
one of,
you
it's
with
one
the N-word bit.
Yeah. That's me with one of my short clips
searching
I post on
for
Instagram.
Bill Duffs.
Are you the guy from the N-word bit? So the director, a Swedish guy who made one Best Picture Oscar.
I mean, what a story.
What a story. And it's great. It's fucking great, man. Even though I ruined it for you, watch it. It's fucking amazing.
I'm still watching.
He goes to Sweden to celebrate and all this stuff, and apparently he went to change his meds in Sweden, and he just hopped in front of a fucking subway.
Jesus.
Killed himself. Here's the weirdest part about the story. I was staying in his apartment in Manhattan at this time.
Knew this guy?
No, but I was dating a girl who was best friends with his girlfriend. So she was like, oh, I'm staying in this house. It was like 125th Street in Harlem. She's like, I'm staying in this house. I'm house sitting. Can you come?
The director of Searching for Sugarman was a gentrifier?
Yeah, for sure. So he's from Sweden. And
unlike
so,
me, living in Highland Park.
So, and like literally we've been there for like 2 days, and all of a sudden the news comes and he killed himself.
Damn.
And she's like, oh my God, you gotta come back. What's going on? And I'm like, and I'm so freaked out by it. I'm like, you know, you're trying to make jokes about it. You're trying to like, oh, this is fucking like, oh my God. Like,
hilarious.
I think I made a comment about his ghosts or something because I made noises. And then I made some joke. Okay. At one point, I'm literally like walking out the door.
Yeah.
And I don't know how this happened.
Oh,
it's so
my
fucking
God.
Weird. I made some fucking joke. That door slammed on my fucking finger. I almost lost my finger, I swear to God. I lost my nail. My entire underbedding was like black and blue and bleeding and fucked up. I was like, I might lose my fucking finger. I lost my entire nail. I go to the fucking hospital and everything.
Oh my God.
I have no idea why the door slammed like that. But in my head, I was like...
The ghost?
The ghost of the director.
It wasn't someone behind you that slammed it.
No.
Oh.
It was fucking bizarre. I'd been in and out of that place, and I made a joke about it. I'm like, boom.
Wow.
Slammed right in the fucking... So bizarre. Anyway.
Well, I'm not going to make any jokes about it. Because I think the movie was great, Mr. Sugarman.
Oh my God, yeah. But anyway, I don't know what the point of that is. So maybe Bourdain was on meds, and he changed meds.
Yeah, you never know.
You know? Because I think that happens a lot. And that shit's... This is why the whole vaccine shit... This is why the vaccines... I've always had healthy skepticism. I've took them.
Yeah.
But... Because these companies... Pfizer is the most sued company in the history of the fucking world.
Yeah.
And the amount of deaths that are covered up from antidepressants...
But is Moderna?
Is Johnson & Johnson baby shampoo?
Nothing wrong with baby shampoo.
What, you don't like baby beer?
Yeah, I mean, everything's fucked up.
Yeah. Anyway, so my point is, you don't have to travel the world. Look what happens.
No.
Both these people died outside of America. That's my point.
No, you got to travel the world because one day everybody in South Africa is going to like your album.
Okay, but here's the thing. You can travel the world. I have traveled the world.
Yeah, I'm going
on
to.
On comedy. With comedy.
Yeah.
Comedy has been my number one reason for traveling the world.
Sure.
And now I don't want to travel the world without it, but now I'm like, fuck, I'm not popular enough to really demand.
Look, my plan was also to travel the world with comedy.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what if I just traveled it with money?
That works too.
What if I just went places?
That works. Yeah. I don't know. I think it's
a lot.